the season for that is going to come, you know, and so thank you very much. Well, how's everybody going? You've braved the weather. You are just as brave as the golfers outside. Because when we initially when we came through, it was raining, and I could hear the guys teeing off there, and I'm like, how brave are those? You know, they must love their golf, you know. But we love our God even greater, and that's why we're here. And so I thank you for, you know, taking the time this morning to just have an opportunity to be in the house of God and to allow God just to speak to us so that he can reset us, because the key thing is that God wants to give to us. He's in the business of entrusting us with things. He wants to improve and he wants us to increase and not to go back. And I know that just a quick recap from last week, you know, we started this new series called Money Rules, you know, and money does rule our lives, does it not? You can't do anything without money, you know. You could have $1 million or $10 million in your account and still be unhappy, but I'll still want $10 million, you know, because half your problems are solved. Not all, half your problems can be solved with money. But we also know that money doesn't solve a lot of issues. In fact, dare I say that it can create a lot of issues. And so we sort of like spoke last week and said, whose money is it? Is it my money or God's? Because if it's mine, then I don't need to be accountable for it. I can do as I please. However, if it's God's, I'm going to trust him with the resource that he has given me. And then we spoke about what's my relationship with money, you know, and what is my financial position? Do I know, you know, what I have coming in and what I have going out? Do I know where I stand? You know, do I know my assets versus my liabilities, what I owe? And that is what your financial position is. And the reason we spoke about those particular things is that if you don't have control over your money, you may want to be generous, but you just won't be able to support other people because you cannot take care of yourself. And it's very important that we are people who use common sense. We are spiritual people, but we're also people that have to use the common sense, which is, if I take care of my family first, and then as God continues to bless me, I am then able to bless other people. And that is the intention. But if we're irresponsible, I guess, with what we're given, what's going to happen is that we're not going to be in a position to want to help somebody else. And so we know that from the scriptures, God wants us to be fruitful. And this means that he wants us to be productive. And the key thing to understand is that God, it does not bless God if we're in poverty, you know, if we have lack in our lives. That does not bring joy or glory to the Lord at all. Everybody agree with me? Say amen. So, quick story. In probably 1993, no, 95 or 96, my father gave me money. So he said back then the Zimbabwean dollar was very powerful. It was one US dollar would get you 1.5 Zimbabwean dollars. So we were on par with the Australian dollar. So we were quite powerful in 96. Sad to say that's not the case now. But back then we were feeling ourselves. Zimbabwe was doing great. And so he gives me money, $5,000. And he says, look, in fact, he just gave me the money. He didn't tell me what to do with it. He just says, here's $5,000. And so, and I thought this is money that I could use, you know, for my daily expenses when I was in high school. And so I did not use that money in a responsible way. The good thing I did is that I deposited the money in the bank account and they gave me the ATM card. Now, sooner as he had done that, once the money was deposited, I became the bank of Stephen. And so whenever my friends wanted money, I'll just give them the ATM card. And so, you know, after a while, you know, you can imagine I was a very popular guy. You know, so people said, oh, can I have some money for this? I give them the ATM card, and they would just go, and withdraw money, you know, and then, but you know what happens when money keeps going in? No, money keeps going out and money doesn't keep coming in. That balance starts to decrease over time. And so eventually the balance had neared its end. In fact, it was gone. I was like the prodigal son. And so my father came to me one day and he says, look, I'm just a bit short of cash, you know. Can I please have some money? You know, and I was like, how do I respond? He wanted money. He wanted to buy himself some beer, I guess. And I didn't, you know, I mumbled a reason that, oh, look, I can't find my card and I don't have any on me at the moment, you know. But I remember feeling so bad and powerless that I could not help my father out. Now, my father was not a man that needed my support because he was a guy of great means, you know. But it cut me that in that moment, I could not assist him, and I therefore missed an opportunity for my father to be proud of me, or for me to feel proud because, you know what, I've just given my father, I've borrowed him some money. Now imagine having the desire to want to help and not the means to help. How disempowering is that, you know? And I think that poverty is something that is from the devil meant to keep people oppressed, you know? And so I wonder, how have you felt when you did not have any money, seeing the things that you cannot purchase, desiring to go places, but you just didn't have the money so you couldn't go? And over my life, I've experienced what I call never again moments. And never again moments is a moment where, you know, where you don't have something, you know, you could have, whether it's somebody could have broken your heart and you say, never again will I allow anybody to break my heart. And so it is the event that creates this, something wells up from within you that says, you know what, I'm not going to allow myself to experience that again for somebody to break my heart. And I think that we need to have never again moments when it comes to our finances, where that feeling of lack, that feeling of being broke, of not having, where we say, never again do I want to be in a situation where I do not have X, Y, and Z. And those never again moments become guides, you know, or lights that begin to change the way that we view things, change the way that we look at our finances, because we never want to be in a compromising position. And for those, I guess, with children, you know, when you've got kids and your kid says, oh, can I please have an apple, or can I have a banana or a yogurt? And you don't have the money to do that. How, you know, how heartbreaking is that? You can't buy them a yogurt. And I recall when things in 96, things in Zimbabwe were great. Fast forward 5-6 years later, they were really bad. And I recall in Alice Springs, one of our friends saying, he knew that it was time to leave the country when his daughter asked him to, can you buy me some yogurt? And he just said, things just weren't adding up. And that's when I realized that, you know what, this is time for me to make the move so that I can be able to look after my family. And so when it comes to our finances, you know, how do we conduct ourselves when it comes to our finances, you know? And so last week we settled, whose money is it? Before we can become stewards, we need to settle questions like, whose money is it? Is it mine or God's? Excuse me. You see, as Christians, our whole life belongs to God, and therefore all that we have is from God. In Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30, in fact, let's pray before I move in. Father, I thank you this morning for your people. I thank you, Lord God, for this day. I thank you for the rain, Lord God, even though it's cold, that we've braved the weather, Lord God, and that we are not here by accident, Father, that we're not going to look to the person to the right or to the left. But we are here at the right time, Father, to hear this word that is going to create a shift in our lives. And so, Father, we commit this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30 says, again, the kingdom of, and we're talking here about being good stewards. Well, thank you very much. We are being good stewards of the things that God has entrusted to us. And so here he says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Hear this out, in proportion to their abilities, not because one, you know, had, was taller than the other. It was in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver, in other scriptures it says talents, you know, the servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The one with the 2 bags of silver went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. And after a long time, the master returned from his trip and called to them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags came forward with 5 more, and he said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 5 more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." And the servant who had received the 2 bags came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2, and I've earned 2 more." And again, the master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag, you know, of silver came and said, "Master, I definitely knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. There you go." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I had harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Poor servant. You know, the master's a bit harsh. And so a talent represented a large sum of money. You know, according to Knave's Topical Bible, one who possessed 5 talents of gold or silver was a multimillionaire by today's standards. And so some calculate the talent in the parables to be equivalent to between 16 to 20 years of wages for a common worker. Now, that's a lot of wages. You know, the minimum wage in Australia is 55,000, you know, per annum. So that's $1 million over, you know, 20 or so years. And so what can we learn, you know, from the good and faithful stewards? One of the key things that we have to understand is that God entrusts things to us. He has entrusted us with the resources that he has given us. He has entrusted us with this life that he has given us. Most importantly, he has entrusted us with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this gospel that we have, yes, it's good for us because it just sanctifies us and just, you know, we grow in our relationship, we become more Christ-like. But most importantly, it's something that we have to share with other people. It's not something that we can hold back for ourselves. Just like our the resources we're given, they're for us. But once they're for us, but there's also an opportunity where we can begin to help other people in our lives. And so these guys understood, these 2 servants understood that they were servants and what they were entrusted with was not theirs. You know? And so I'm not just entrusted with the financial stuff that God gives me, my resources, but I'm entrusted with time and the use of time and what I do with the time that God has given me, you know? And I'm also entrusted with my life. Am I using my life to do good, or am I using my life to do bad? One of the things that these good and faithful servants also understood was that there was the master's expectations, that the master wanted or expected results. You and I know this very well, because like my brother Andrew is started a new job recently, and every day he goes there, well, 2 days a week, he goes there into the office, 3 days he works from home. And so he knows that his organization has entrusted him with a responsibility to do something. Now, if he just went to work and all he did was make tea every day and just sit at his office, drink one cup, and then go and make tea again, you know, unless, of course, that is his job to make tea. But if it's not his job, they're going to get rid of him very quickly. Because if you don't produce, you're out. I've never seen any job, even if it's your father's company, where you can go there and do what you want. No, you got to go there. You have a responsibility. And if you're not producing, they're going to kick you out, you know. If we are those that understand that you and I have been entrusted with something by God, and that God expects a return on the things that he has entrusted to us in our lives. Yes, it's the finance. And the key thing that you have to understand is that whilst we're talking here about this series about money rules, I'm not in any way suggesting that, you know, or saying you got to give, because that's between you and God, you know. Well, whilst I would like you to give, I'm not going to apologize for asking you to give. This is about looking at the whole facet of your life to say, how am I living my life? Am I living my life in a manner that is going to bring joy to the Lord, so that I can hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a little, and now I'm going to give you many more responsibilities, you know. And so you can understand that the master expects results, because he said his words to the lazy servant were, you could have put my money, you could even have put my money with the bankers and got some interest. The most encouraging thing about this passage of scripture tells us that, or it tells me that, both you and I have got something that we've been given by God. He has given this thing to us, something that he has put in our hands. And the question is that, are we doing well with the things that he has given us? You know, they understand that there are consequences for not producing and for the wicked and lazy servant. And remember that he was only called wicked because he did not do what he was supposed to do with what is entrusted to him, you know. The other thing that these servants understood was the importance of taking advantage of opportunities. You know, in the New International Version and the Amplified Version, it says, they went at once. This is the two guys, they went at once. In the American Standard Version, it says, straight away, he that received the five went and traded with them. And the Message Bible says, right off, they went. So they took calculated risks. They worked with what they had. They utilized all their skills and understanding. And they sought understanding if they did not possess it. So if you want to sort of like increase in a particular area of your life, guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to go learn. And as you learn, if you want to get, you know, better financially, you're going to have to read some, whether it's Australian Financial Review, read some books on finance that are going to help you your understanding grow, so that you understand what you're doing. They took advantage of their opportunities quickly. They realized that there are seasons to opportunities and that they do not last forever. And one of the things that is constantly repeated in my household to my children is that there is a reason they say it's a window of opportunity. They never say it's a door of opportunity. It's a window, because there is a small time, you know, and there are seasons in life. And you can imagine, fast forward another 37 years when I'm 80 years old, and my wife there, she would be 79 at that time. Imagine if I got up here and said, you know what, it's time for us to start a family. What would you guys say? There must be something wrong with this guy, you know? Because you will have all said, well, Pastor Stephen, you've actually missed the opportunity. What were you doing in your 20s? What were you doing in your 30s? Dare I say, what were you doing in your 40s? In your 50s? You still have a chance, you know? But once I start getting to 60, 70, that season and that window of opportunity has closed. And because it's closed, the only thing I can do at that time is possibly, you know, get some World Vision kids, you know, or adopt if we're that desperate to have children. So there are seasons to opportunities that you and I are given. And we have to understand that, am I utilizing the season that God has given me? And one thing we do know is that, when does winter come? What does winter come after? And what comes after winter? And after spring? Does it change? Does it happen all the time? Every year, in and out, in and out. So what happens if tomorrow morning? What's going to happen at 7 o'clock? What's the one thing that's going to come up at 6 or 7 in the morning? Every day. Like clockwork, all the seasons come and go. And so we have seasons in our life. And one of the key things we have to be is people who understand the season we're in. And whatever opportunity is placed in front of us, we got to grab it. The difference between those that make it and those that don't is that they just seize the opportunity. Because dare I say that if we go back 25 years ago, there was no Facebook. If we go back 25 years ago, there was no Amazon. There was no Netflix. Back in the days, you'd have to go to Blockbuster. In fact, it's not even 20 years ago. Blockbuster was around probably up until from about 2010 it was around. 2011 it was still around, you know. And the funny thing is that, you know, that the guys who own Netflix went to Blockbuster to say whether they could merge together. And Blockbuster said, nah, get lost. You know, and where's Blockbuster now? Gone. Yeah, you see? And now Netflix is running things. So there are seasons to opportunities. Are we going to be those that maximize the seasons that we have? Because the graveyard is full of businesses that were never started, ideas that were never taken to their full extent. You know, buildings that were never built, songs that were never written, you know, companies that were never started. It's full of them. Where people have lived, you know, they've had the idea, but they just never followed through. And so no matter how old or how young you are, there are seasons to your life. The question is that, are you going to sort of like, you know, say, you know what, Lord, with the opportunity, I'm going to seize it, and I'm going to do something with it. No matter how silly you might think your idea is, see it through. Because you never know, that one idea can just multiply, and sooner or later you're going to be a multimillionaire. Soon enough, it's going to bless your family for the next 10 years, even if you don't become a millionaire. Let's get into the habit of not just having ideas, but of writing them down and saying, you know what? Of these 200 ideas that I had this week, I'm just going to pursue one and see where it takes me. Because it's not about it not succeeding. It's about you not trying to make it succeed and just leaving it written down on paper. So, you see, it was not the money that went to work, but the workers. These guys just decided in their heads to say, you know what, I'm going to go and use this. You see, the master knew his servants, you know. They were given according to their ability, which is the means or skill to do something or a proficiency in a particular area. We are given all that we can handle. You're not going to be given 20 if you're a two-person guy or lady. You're going to get 20, you know. You're going to get, if you're a two-person, you get two people. You get, this is the ability you're given. It's based on what you can handle, you know. In The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, there came a time where, you know, the hobbits, they all had to weapons were being dished out by the elves, you know. And so one of the guys, Sam, was a hobbit. He was given a rope when others were given daggers or swords. And he felt that his was inferior because he was comparing that to what other people were given. But the rope was sufficient for him, because down the track in the movie, that rope was able to take them out of situations that if he didn't have that rope and he had a dagger, it wouldn't have helped. And one of the things I want to say is that, can a tub full say, you know, what's the difference, a tub full, a dish full, and a cup full? What do they have in common? They're all full. And that is the exact analogy of the abilities we've been given. Others are a tub full, others are a dish full, and others are a cup full. But the key thing is that they're full. And so comparison, where you want to compare your gifts and what you've been given with another person, you shouldn't care about that, because you just say, look, I'm still full. And the master demonstrated that by those guys all got 100%. And they were all told, because you've been faithful with this little, I will give you many more responsibilities. And so they understood the law of use. And the law of use says that what you don't employ, you forfeit. The people here watch rugby? Any rugby supporters here? Yes, there's a few. And so in rugby, they've got what they call scrums or mauls, you know. And if you're not going forward, the referee says, use the ball or you're going to lose it to the opposition. In AFL, you know, like let's say that somebody grabs you and you're not with the ball in hand, you know, they take the ball away from you. Because if you're not using the ball, they're going to take it away from you. So the guys took the talents, put it to work. It was a bit shaky at start, but then it grew from 5, from 7, 8, 9, and 10. And so there was always an increase. And so the wicked servant who was called that, you know, he took the talent, wrapped it up, camouflaged that so that nobody would steal it. And fortunately, nobody stole it. And he says to the Lord, look, I dug it up, and here it is. And the one thing that he was given, he lost it because he did not understand the law of use. Today, unused is lost. And the normal, some of the things we say to each other is that I will make up the time. And unfortunately, it's impossible to do so. Once today is gone, you have to start again tomorrow. But that time is lost. And as we bring this to a close, forget the band to get back up. Worship team. The wicked, the guy, the servant who was called the wicked and lazy, and was called wicked and lazy, he did not take risks. And the key thing you have to understand is that he said, I was afraid. And because he was afraid, he didn't do anything. And we know no risk, no reward. You don't step up. That idea that you have and do something with it, nothing is going to eventuate. And I guess the key question is that, how can I ask God for more if I'm not even being faithful with the little that he's given me? the idea to say, you know, maybe you should start a food truck. You know, you're asking for a restaurant. And he says, yeah, start with a food truck. We have to take risks. Calculated risk, there, I'll say that. I won't just say you just go and do whatever. You see, I'm not just entrusted with the resources of time and material wealth, but with also how my life brings glory to God, you know? What we do with what we have, with our lives, reveal our view of God. God sees value in Allison, Donovan, Michael, all of us. And so what we do with our lives reveals what we think of God. Because if we think that God has entrusted us and that God loves us, guess what we're going to do? We're going to do our level best to use the things that He has given us. And I think that there is a time limit to everything. You know, when I say that there are seasons to life, life goes in seasons. And only God, by His grace, can redeem the time from us. And I understand, you see, is that somebody could have whispered in your ear that you're useless, you can't do anything, you will never amount to anything. And sometimes it's going to take us a while to get over that, you know, to have to deal with that constant thing in our minds that each time we want to step up and do something, that voice of doubt begins to cloud everything that we do. And this is where we're saying that God can redeem the time, because somebody who was important in your life came and said all these nasty things to you, and each time you think of doing something, you become afraid, because your reference point is always that you cannot do anything. I think that through this series, that God is speaking to us here to understand the season that we're in, but also to seize the opportunities that He has given us. And this is not the time for us to be fearful. Let us believe God for more opportunities, you know, and for success in our lives, in whatever it is that we want to do. And you see, we are building and we're expanding so we can reach our community, so that people can come into this space to and know the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can run programs that will bring health and vitality to our community, both physically, both the physical and mental well-being. And so with everybody standing this morning as we finish, imagine what we will be able to accomplish in our time in this place if we utilized every opportunity that God has given us. We will be able to do more. We'll be able to go places that we never thought possible, reach more people, see individuals, families, and the community come to Christ. So among us all, who wants to hear those words? Well done, good and faithful servant. Say yes if it's you want to hear those words. You know? And this morning as we close, let's make a commitment to the Lord this morning that we will be those He can trust to do well with the opportunities that He has provided to us. God, I just pray this morning, Lord God, that You have entrusted us, Lord God, with gifts and talents and resources, and that each and every one of us, Lord God, that You see value in each and every one of us, Father. That, Lord, we have something that we can offer. And so, Father, I just pray for Your people this morning. I just pray, Lord God, that no matter whatever idea they may have, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, they would not see it as insignificant, Father, but they would just begin to have the courage, Lord God, to be able to take the risks they need to take. I pray for courage, Lord God. And, Father, Lord God, for words that were spoken over people's lives, Father, we condemn those in Jesus' mighty name, Father, that Your people would be free, Lord God, to do the things that You have called them to do, that You have called each and every one of us, Father, to be Your servants, Lord God. And Father, that You desire to say to each and every one of us, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, let us be a people that will do more with what you have given us. Father, we thank you this day, and we commit our lives to you in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. So we're just going to sing a song. And if you need prayer, we're going to open up the front here for that to happen. And otherwise, we'll meet in the foyer and have tea and coffee and some biscuits. Thank you.